and FM Vancouver. Lady Radio is sponsored by UBC Women's Center. I'm Callie, and we have Tintin, Elizabeth, Paulina, and Cassandra, and Chelsea. Elsie. Sorry. I have anxiety when it comes to names. This always happens to me. Okay. This is the last day of Lady Radio until May 13th, and the crew is disbanding to go their summer ways, but we'll have plenty of sweet programming for you every other Friday at 6 p.m. through the summer, so check back in on the 13th, and we're going to be having shows run throughout, so we'll still be around. Today, we're just going to be hanging out and talking about the experience of dating in your 20s, and or 19 to 20, and onwards. So it's like the things we've learned, bad dates, Tinder, plans the future sort of deal. Before that, we're going to start you off with Tae Shi. This is Basically on CITR 101.9.
Shut up and sit down.
The 2016 Doxa Documentary Film Festival hurtles headlong into the nonfiction universe. Whether it's one of the best base jumpers in the world or great Maya Angelou soaring the heights of literary fame, this year's selection of films take a leap of faith in the quest for justice, freedom, and naked glory. It's all happening May 5th to 15th, 2016. Check out doxafestival.ca, doxafestival.ca for more details.
If you or someone you know is experiencing challenges with mental health, there are lots of peer and professional resources available at UBC and in the community.
Kaleidoscope is a peer-run mental health support group on campus that meets every Monday, except statutory holidays, from 5 to 6 p.m. in Buchanan Building B, Room 307.
You can visit our website for updated meeting times and additional mental health resources at the-kaleidoscope.com.
If you live in Vancouver and need immediate help, please phone Mental Health Emergency Services at 604-874-7307 or 1-800-SUICIDE for the rest of British Columbia.
Tell you that I love you, that I can't hold back. The feeling that you give me, wanna give it right back. I know you always win at this particular game. You know the rules if you want me to play. Cause I can't relax. Oh, when I get around you, I can't hide the fact. I let you take advantage cause it felt so good. I blame myself for thinking we both understood.
Welcome back to Lady Radio. That was Boyfriend by Tegan and Sarah. And we're going to get started on our discussion of dating. Okay. So I kind of want to start off with sort of like, what have you guys experienced as like the evolution of dating thus far? So like, how has dating now been different from maybe dating when you were in high school or maybe like your conception of it?
To me, it has not changed a whole ton. I think the first date I went on was with someone I was really close to at that time, so it was a bit different, but I think it's gotten a lot more casual mm-hmm. as you like over the years. That being said, guys still aren't really, they just don't know what's going on, and so it has been the general trend that they don't really know what they want. in terms of dating or a relationship from my personal experience. And so I wouldn't say that much has changed for me.
But I feel like I don't even know what I want. Like, I think when I was in high school, I was like, of course I want this person to be my boyfriend. I want all guys that I like to be my boyfriend. And now I feel like you spend at least 3 months with it sort of being like, who's going to say something first? Because nobody wants to, like, put a hard pin on it, for sure.
I'm going to second you on that because I haven't dated since high school. Like, my last relationship was in high school, but coming into university and just observing things around me and realizing that relationships are a lot of work. And so I think for me now, thinking about dating, it's sort of like you consider all the sort of time commitment and effort and emotional energy that you're going to invest into it rather than maybe this excitement that really overtakes everything. Like, when you're in high school, it's sort of like, oh my goodness, we're dating. That's all that matters. Like, and everything's perfect and wonderful and pink clouds and unicorns. I don't know, just like nice things. But coming into university and seeing people around you, you realize, like, you know, relationships are a commitment and they're a lot of work. So I definitely take that into consideration now more than ever.
More often than not, I realize that people, like, now don't want to label their relationships or like their things as something. And I found that really interesting because, like, in high school, like, even if you went on like one date with somebody, like, you're like boyfriend and girlfriend now, or like you guys are like getting, you know, someplace with that. But now it's just like really confusing, and like there's a lot of like little nuances in like relationships that you don't know about unless you're like in it. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I'm definitely, over the past few years, I've been trying to do like different kinds of relationships and more about, you know, not strapping on the title and then trying to like do key things to like, you know, appear as a couple, but to kind of just be good to each other and then figure it out. But high school for me was, I feel, a lot more about just being desirable and not being rejected. And that's why I dated and continue to date boys from like the age of, I had like my first boyfriend, I was like 5. And it's just like, yeah, so I was like always dating boys. Yeah, and I didn't stop, I guess, until I got out of high school. But it was mostly just about like getting away from me, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of for me, like the difference between my first boyfriend, like I asked him out in the library's like aisle of the library, and I was like, you wanna go on a date? And then like I remember walking outside and everyone's like, oh my god, everyone in our like 10th grade, everyone was coupling up, and everyone's like, oh my god, we're all in couples. And I was like, totally, we're dating, because like he's in my drama class and I think he's cute. Like, that was enough. But I feel like the whole idea of like getting away from yourself, like, it's between that first experience and now, it has become a lot more about like, I have a stronger sense of myself. And that is now most important to me when entering a relationship. Whereas it's been kind of like getting to the point where I put myself first, not in a selfish way, but like I know what I want and I have a better sense of myself and that matters to me. And I take that into relationships. Whereas when I was in high school, it's all like, like me, please validate me as a human. Like, it's, you know, now I'm like, I don't need your validation. I'm doing it on my own terms. Ideally.
Well, it's like, I think that's kind of all of that comes with dating, is we date other people and kind of like, it's like holding up a mirror to yourself, and that's what it was for me. It was just learning about myself, and it was almost like I might as well just, I should have just went up and asked like, hey, can you just tell me something about me, because that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I think the most important part, it seems like the most important thing to show everyone and to show yourself is that you're, like, desirable in this specific new sexual way and, like, romantic way. And you kind of, I don't know, I feel like I've spent years going down that hole forever. And it's kind of like trying to put your existential anxiety down a certain place that seems, like, socially acceptable. Like, there's so many romantic comedies that you're just like, you're supposed to love it. And I'm like, okay, I'll just, like, throw all my energy down that path. And then in the past year or so, I've been sort of being like, oh wait, actually, if I pour all my energy in, like, back into myself and like figuring out what I want my life to look like, what are my passions, like my career, like what do I want from that, and like into my friendships that I've always like nurtured me instead of depleting me, then that's kind of like what I want to be doing. And so that's what we're gonna do.
Okay, so I just, for one of my classes, like my final paper that I just wrote was about like the construction of the subject of the girlfriend and like my experiences with that. And I have a lot of weird feelings around it. Like it makes me very uncomfortable and whatever. So I did this whole research paper. And a big part of that, like, I mean, it has a lot to do with like Western imperialist structures of like monogamy, of heterosexual monogamous relationships and like the ideal model of relationships and how for some reason romantic relationships are supposed to complete you rather than like complement you, which like if we're look honestly, like our friendships, most likely the ones that we've learned to like really value are people who complement us but aren't necessary to like make us a full human, which is a ridiculous thing to ask someone to do or like need from someone, because you're never going to get that. It's impossible. So yeah.
Just to comment on that a little bit more, I'm not sure if I brought this up before, but I did a reading in my poli-sci class, and it was called The Enemy Within, and this was the part when we were talking about feminist theory, and they brought up this really interesting notion of how, for women, later in life, there becomes two relationships. It's one person is your, like, partner or lover, and then all the other people are just people you meet. And so there's this sense of, like, you meet somebody and then, you know, you're in this relationship and then you kind of sacrifice all these other relationships around you. Like, that's what I found personally that I did. It was sort of like, okay, my partner comes first. I would, like, pour all my energy into that. And then if friends came up, I'd just tell them, like, oh, I have, like, other commitments, and then push them aside. And by the time that you get out of the relationship, I found that you sort of put these friendships aside, and it's like not a fun time trying to pick them back up. And I don't know if that's something that happened to any of you too, but I found that was sort of a trend.
No, I totally agree. I think, and that's been sort of one of my biggest pet peeves, I think, this year or so, is that like most of my friends have gotten in relationships, and because I have a relationship with them too, I figured like, okay, then like obviously we would continue our friendship, but it's not, it's like all of a sudden, like, everything else has to be, like, less than, and you're like, okay, that's, what? It just, like, blows my, it kind of, like, blows my mind. It really makes me feel, like, really, like, sad and confused.
Yeah. For the past, like, 2 years, I've been in this super, super complicated long-distance relationship. So I finally got to learn what it's like not to be able to constantly, like, put someone forward. Like, I couldn't just ditch my friends and go hang out. I mean, the worst that it would get is like texting. So many times people have been like, you have to stop texting, and I'm like, for me, this, like, I'm on a date right now. Like, that's how this feels. But yeah, I know back in the day I definitely did that. I tried to make my partners my best friend, and that's kind of what it, what sometimes that's what it becomes, right? When you're young. And it's because friendships, especially in high school, you know, you're scared of how you feel about yourself, and you're scared of how other people are going to feel about you. So once you get in that bond with someone, it's kind of like you're shaking hands and like, okay, like, we're going to be nice to each other. Like, we're going to try to, like, you know, pump each other up sometimes. Okay, deal. Like, it's this kind of like a, this nice little agreement, I guess. Mm-hmm.
I found the challenge in that to be like, if you wanted to make your, you know, your partner your best friend, like, what happens when you guys break up? That was always a big issue for me, because I've always been like, I want to, like, know, you know, the person that I'm dating, like, super, like, well, as like on a personal level, instead of being like, oh, like, I'm meeting you for the sake of like being in a relationship with you. And that was always so hard, because like breaking up was always the worst, because it was like, well, like, who do I tell all these like things to anymore? Like, yeah. That was just a problem.
I kind of have a question about that, though, is, like, I don't know, is it not worth it? Like, is what you're getting out, if you are able to do that in a way where you're like, I can share all these things with you, like, I think it doesn't, just because they are, like, your best friend or, like, one of your best friends doesn't mean they have to be your only best friend. Like, I would not think, if I were to get to the point with my partner where I'm like, you are, like, I feel so close to you in this kind of, like, deep friend way, which I think is amazing, and I would want that. I wouldn't see that that needs to, like, replace my other best friendships. But also, like, I think, I'm gonna get real corny here, but, like, I think that can take you to, like, a level of love that, like, experiencing that is worth a lot. And so, like, yeah, it's gonna hurt a lot more if things end, but like, would you rather, you know, is it like better to have loved and lost than never loved at all? It's essentially my question.
This is what happened in my first relationship, basically, is he was a really good friend of mine, and the question was whether or not, you know, it should turn into anything more, and it did, and I still think it was worth it, even though in the end we don't really talk anymore. But I think being able to look back at all the memories that we had and like how close we were, that was pretty special. And it's also kind of like refreshing that this is going to sound so weird, but like when you lose someone who is so close to you in that way, it's like, it is like the death of a friendship, but like, it's sort of refreshing because then it kind of throws you back into this entire like, oh, like not everything is permanent and like you can like move on from that and you'll be okay. But it's just like that ability to change and like not be so comfortable anymore after that relationship is over. Mm. Yeah.
I think one thing I had to work really, really hard on was trying not to hate everybody after we broke up. Like, no, really, like, I just use, like, every excuse is just, you know, I think a lot of people that I just want to be complaining about, and I'm like, okay, well, like, why am I even talking about my boyfriends? Like, I super don't like dating boys. So it's just this kind of, like, yeah, just trying to throw that on. So, like, what you were saying is it's really important to acknowledge that even a temporary relationship can be so beneficial to us and our growth, and not to just walk away from it and be like, oh, I wasted all of my time. Because then you're not really growing. Like, you're just, you're making all of that, turning that all into dead energy, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I think that brings me to one of my questions as well is, I know we probably, like, it's fun to talk about bad things that happen in relationships, but sort of good relationships, or, like, what have you guys learned about yourself and sort of, or even just sort of, like, life, humanity from relationships? Like, something you are glad to have experienced and learned in a relationship, or relationships in general?
One of the things that I've recently learned, actually, from a relationship is that you shouldn't base, like, your entire self-esteem on, like, what another person, this one individual, thinks of you, because you have so little control over, like, what someone might, you know, perceive of you to be, or, like, their expectations of you, and it's, like, totally unreasonable to, like, you know, kind of change yourself in order to meet someone else's, like, expectations of yourself. And
yeah, you don't want yourself to be walking outside of you in other people's eyes. Mm-hmm. Like, you want it to be inside of yourself, yeah, thinking about yourself.
I think what I learned recently is that I can view my vulnerability in relationships and, like, just in general as, like, more of a strength than a weakness, because I've seen a lot that my vulnerability can kind of be a little bit shocking for some people, because I'm just, like, so out there all the time. And I think that just, like, that, I think that's what I've learned most is I need somebody who is able to open up and be vulnerable, because that's what I need, and I cannot be going for anything else at the moment. So
that's great.
Yeah,
I totally like that. I would say that, I had a really bad relationship when I first came to UBC, and it kind of messed up my, like, conception of people, and, like, you know, I just sort of assumed that everyone's trying to hurt me and manipulate me and, like, control me kind of thing. And then my second relationship was with this really, really, like, kind person, and it really helped me to be, like, oh, I actually, like, can trust people, and, like, people aren't trying to hurt me. And you kind of, like, learn to realize that people aren't just, like, care about you. I don't know, it's kind of a nebulous thought, but generally, like, helped me learn that people are good and stuff like that. So yeah.
I think I spent a very long time, like, whether intentionally or, like, consciously or no, really trying to be whatever I thought my partner wanted me to be, or a version of myself that wasn't too much or like too much to handle or like, you know, demanding too much or anything like that. And this honestly, like within the last probably 6 months, I just have kind of taken like a total 180 to, because I think I just got really tired of it. And I've been trying, yeah, it's exhausting. And I've been trying to implement a policy of like no games, no, there's some words that I want to say that I can't say at this moment because we're not allowed to swear on air, but just like not, no like messing around. If I want to talk to you, I'm going to talk to you. If I want to like text you and see how you're doing, I'm not going to be like, oh, can I do this? Because yesterday I texted you this and you didn't respond for 20 minutes. Like none of that mess, like whatever. Because again, for me, it's come from a big place of being like, I want to just be myself. And if I can't do that with you, then we should not be in a relationship together. Like, I now demand that of my romantic relationships because I've also started to learn to demand it from my friendships. And I'm kind of just trying to take, again, like, the, just the same approach to all of my relationships is, like, I am going to be here being myself. I want you to do the exact same thing. Let's just, like, be ourselves with each other. How nice is that? And that has been a much more satisfying and, like, fulfilling experience for me.
I was going to say, the one of the biggest things I've learned, too, is that, like, when someone's dating you, they're dating you. So, like, if you are pretending to be somebody else or if you're trying to, like, hold on to all your feelings and, like, not disturb them with that or something, you know, they're not dating you. They're dating someone else who doesn't seem to care about stuff that happens. And if you do care about it, you just have to say it. And if, like, you know, that's just sort of where it's at, I think.
Also, on a more basic level, I feel as though every relationship teaches you more kind of what you like in other people, and like with every person that I guess you hang out with, you kind of learn to understand like what you'd like or dislike in other people or like what you're looking for. So that's kind of interesting.
Cool. All right, so we're gonna take a quick break and we're gonna play this song called Hot Hands by Darius, which is my number one song for everything. I'm trying to think of what category it fits in as songs to me. I'm like, it's my dance song, it's my like sexy song when I want to feel good, and I think you'll like it too. So this is Lady Radio, CITR 101.9.
Hot hands on me. Hot hands.
WCITR 101.9 FM presents the Main Street Vinyl Record Fair on Sunday, May 1st, at the Heritage Hall on 3102 Main Street. There are over 50,000 vinyl records on sale, with great deals on 45s, turntables, vintage audio, and much more. The fair also features thousands of vinyl records available by donation in support of CITR, Safe Amp, and Girls Rock Camp Vancouver. There'll also be a special feature of the vinyl spinning genius of the Knights of the Turntable. Discover rare gems and stock up on bargain classics at the Main Street Vinyl Record Fair. Go to vinylrecordfair.com or find us on Facebook for more information. The AMS Sexual Assault Support Center, the SASC, is a free and confidential service which provides support to those who have experienced sexual assault, intimate partner violence, and harassment. We provide services to folks of all genders, including students, staff, faculty, and those who have a connection to the UBC Vancouver campus. We provide crisis and short-term emotional support, legal, medical, and campus-related advocacy, and outreach and educational programs. We are located in the Student Nest, room 3127. For more information on our hours of operation and other resources and services, please go to our website, amssask.ca, or visit our Facebook page, AMS Sexual Assault Support Centre.
If love had a sound, this would be that sound. Love. By windows and doorsteps, play make believe as my tears pour chest. Won't succeed to breathe if not the air of you. Surely there's never been a shade so blue, a sting attitude so not mad at you, not a magnitude to encompass the latitude of my love for you. No space or time compatible. What do I have to do? What do I have to do? Oh, my friends say I got it bad for you. I do, but there's nothing in this world I'd rather do but you. Hey, I want to make love to your existence, drenched in the colors of your energy, then masturbate to the memories. I want to lose myself inside yourself until you find me, confine me to the freedom of your prison. Exist in the same space, same time. Combine until your thoughts slow grind with mine. Combine until your thoughts slow grind with mine. Combine until your thoughts slow grind with mine. My, I wanna drink the sweat of your intellect. Reflect and watch your light passion mark my neck. Caress the sight of your presence with no question. Undress to the nakedness of love, pure love. I want to make love to my soulmate. My soulmate, make love to my soulmate. My soulmate, make love to my soulmate. I wonder, how does it feel to make love to your soulmate? Kinda like writing poetry till climax, till the point and place where our space and time match and we cross divine paths. Tell me, would you like that? How would you like that? Tell me, would you like that? Now, would you like that? Tell me, would you like that? Would you like that? Tell me. I wanna love you more than madly. Wrap these legs around your words until your speech is straddled deep. Gladly swim the currents of your vibration. Be separate and one with the same meditation. The same meditation. This is poetry. Thank you. if love had a sound, this would be that sound, and we would be the band to play it.
We're back. That song was How Does It Feel by Poetry. Oh, is it?
Akuanaru?
Okay. That's the name. We're going to continue our discussion, and Rach had something she wanted to say.
Yeah, so earlier when we were talking about breakups, I wanted to ask this question. I'm going to open it up to everybody here now. And my question is, once you break up with someone, do you try to remain friends with them, or do you just cut ties? And if so, can things ever be the same when you're friends? Like, even, like, especially if you were friends with them before, but can things remain the same, or is it always going to be different? Like, something there is going to be different.
It's always going to be different. I'm somebody who, like, hates cutting ties, like, period. Like, even friendship ties. Like, if someone wrongs me in some, like, terrible way, I will still, like, not try to remove them from my life, just because, like, I hate like having, like, resentful feelings about things that, like, honestly are probably just, like, petty and weird. And I feel like I try to carry the same thing over for relationships, but it's just weird. Like, it's not, you're not really that close of friends anymore, because, like, you are gonna have, like, this aspect of, like, jealousy if something were to happen, if they were, like, to date someone else or something. And it'd just be, like, too, it wouldn't be, like, a genuine friendship where, like, you really want, like, the best for them, even if that's what you, like, outwardly, you know, suggest or whatever.
I think there are mainly two reasons as to why you would potentially want to remain friends with someone you're romantically involved with. The first being that you want to get back together again, or you're hoping that'll happen. And the second one being that, I mean, if you wanted to date them, then they're obviously awesome. And so why wouldn't you want to stay friends with someone who's awesome? And so that has been the case for, like, anyone who I've been involved with. I still think they're great and, like, no regrets. Like, 11 out of 10 would like them again. But it's really hard. Like, I am still sort of friends with one of my exes, and I think there's, like, this underlying still want to get back together with you if you ever wanted that. But that can lead to some really just, like, you know, detrimental, like, I don't, it destroys you, because you're just waiting, and then it just, like, it's not happening. And so because of that, I think it is really hard to remain friends with someone that you still have feelings for. But if you don't, then I think it's possible.
I think you can maybe do it later on when you don't have those, like, very raw feelings, like, because there's still so much, like, context that you have to deal with after you break up of, like, the whole relationship, like, maybe later. Also, I have this theory, though, that you never get over some people. Mm-hmm. Like, there's some relationships, like, even my high school boyfriend, mm-hmm. I imagine that I yeah, like,
oh, yeah. Everyone had someone come to mind.
Yeah, like, I feel like I'm like, yeah, I guess I, like, I don't know who you are anymore, but, mm-hmm. like, I probably still love you. Like, in some weird fantasy version of my brain, I guess.
But is it that you, like, still love them, or, like them, or do you just, like the memories associated with them?
Well, that's obviously, yeah. Yeah.
I think a part of that for me, like, why I don't think I could why I haven't is because I hold on to like emotional memories. Mm. So like when I break up with someone, even if it's like a short thing, like I just will, they like stay with me for a long time and they'll just kind of be like around. I'll be like, well, I wonder what they're doing today and like things like that. So I don't know that like I would ever be in a position where I would run into someone like that again and just be like, oh, I'm totally fine with just neutrally seeing you and let's now be friends. I would be like, oh, like all of this weird stuff that I've built up in my own brain about them will be underneath that interaction. So I don't know that I could do that. I'm just like way too sappy, essentially. I hold on. I'm like such a desperate romantic.
Well, because like the fantasy is always really, really nice in your mind. Like even people I just start to date, I just build this huge castle in the sky. And then, of course, they don't follow through. And I'll be crushed. Like I'll just die about it. And I'll be like, how could you not be my fantasy person? No.
How dare they?
Yeah.
Also, I feel like if you don't really want to be friends, but you're in the same friend group, that's kind of a weird thing as well. And then it's just kind of like a weird forced relationship, and you're just like, cool, this is a thing. But then over time, it's kind of all right. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. So before we run out of time, I also want to check out the question of experience. So I want to know about your guys' experiences in dating in terms of figuring out your sexuality or alternate methods of dating. So just like alternate methods. So anything that's like not heterosexuality and not sort of monogamy. What has your experiences been with that? Anything work? Anything not work? I can also start out with a story that I have that I'll reel us in. I was trying to figure out if I like girls in more than a friend way. And so I went to this thing called Hershey Bar in Vancouver. It happens every month. It's actually really good. I actually suggest it to everyone. It's like sort of this like lesbian bi meetup or whatever you want to do. And you don't have to be lesbian or bi, but you can come and hang out. And it was really good, but I like sort of had the equivalent of like a one night stand. And so I was like, oh, maybe I don't like girls because I didn't really like that much. But it was like a one night stand. So I think I'm still open to the idea, but I just haven't experienced it yet where like you feel really intimate with someone. Like I think I'm open to the idea of being intimate with like more than like one gender sort of thing.
Something kind of about that. I think I actually was reading this article recently that I found very helpful. It was kind of a listicle, but not more of an article than a listicle. It was like part list, part article. Anyway, and it was about ways to maintain your queer identity in like a heterosexual presenting relationship, which like for me right now is kind of what I'm experiencing. And that was part of, again, this paper that I wrote. It's a big deal for me, apparently, about like how the relationships I'm in with men, I understand how they and like I would read as straight being in those, which is difficult for me because I'm not yet at a place in terms of like my sexual identity where I feel comfortable like naming that. And so especially being in relationships with men who like don't necessarily get that I don't consider myself straight can be weird, and it can be kind of just like it's hard. It's really hard, actually, because it feels like there's a significant part of your identity that just like isn't really being recognized, and that you would have to like make a big show about recognizing it because you know that people are just going to see you and be like, oh, straight couple, cool. And I'm like, but I'm not. So that's, I don't know, that's difficult. I don't know if other people have had experiences like that.
I haven't had any experience dating someone of the same gender, so I've never dated another woman, but I had a really close friend that I met this year who was pansexual, and it was really interesting because I wasn't sure, like, going into our friendship, the closer we became, I wasn't sure if I liked her. It was sort of this weird thing, and I think something that I think about really often is this idea that, you know, heteronormativity is so drilled in our heads that I can't tell the difference when I'm attracted to a woman or when it's a friendship, because I associate my relationships with women so strongly with just like friendship and camaraderie and sisterhood that it's very hard for me to differentiate the two. Whereas when I feel like certain feelings with men, it's like very obvious if it's some sort of attraction or I'm interested in being in a relationship with them. So I feel like that's something I definitely struggle with, and that's why I haven't necessarily met another woman who I felt like really strongly attracted to the same way I have with men. Probably because heteronormativity is drilled in my head.
Right, so, like, you've learned that. You've learned, like, how to recognize certain feelings for certain people, and, like, it's so deep in there.
Yeah, I definitely felt that when I was even at the Hershey Bar event, because it was, like, you have to, like, go and dance, or, like, if you're assumedly having to go and, like, ask someone to dance with you, and I felt so wrong, like, because, like, women, I don't know, I felt like the predator all of a sudden or something. Do you know what I mean? Where, like, as like with women, it's like I almost felt like I was, like, breaking a certain trust. I can't really explain it, but I was like, I don't want to hit on you. Like, I don't want to bother you and, like, get in your way. Like, because I just imagined myself as, like, the creepy dude at the bar who you're like, get away from me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, as soon as they come up to you, you're, like, instantly skeptical and, like, are you going to say – what are you going to say to me? Like, you know what I mean? Like, are you going to be in my face? Like – but it's cool because you get to look at that specific feeling of, like, at what point did I start to differentiate these feelings away from, like, a romantic intent? And, like, you know what I mean? Like, because I remember being 13 and, like, I was so close to one of my best friends and I just was like, oh, my God, am I, like, in love with her? And I had this, like, moment of, like, do I like her like that? My mom was just like, oh, like, no, you don't. And so I was like, and which is a very interesting thing as well. So I'm like, I don't know if my mom should have done that. And, like, I don't know if that was, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
I just want to say, because I also was at, like, one Hershey. And what I got out of that, I was just like, women are terrifying. Like, I got a lot of... I gained a lot of respect for straight, non-creepy straight men at bars where I'm like, this is so difficult. You're all going to reject me. I can't talk to you. You're pretty. Yeah. And I just, like, was like, how, like, what do I say? And I was, essentially, I was just like, what's the word? Paralyzed the entire night. I was just standing there being like, oh, okay, so it's yeah. fine. I'm fine. I'm just having fun. Like, it was, oh, so scary.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. You start to have a ton of male empathy. You're like, whoa, yeah. Like,
this is
yeah. Because that first look of even them looking at you, like, what are you doing? And you're like, oh. Sorry.
Everyone should know. Everyone should try it.
I have a question, if you don't mind my asking. But have you ever, like, hit on someone of the opposite sex in, like, a bar, like, some kind of situation like that? Because I feel like, If I were to do that, like, if I saw someone that I was like, oh, like, you interest me, I wouldn't be able to do it because I would feel like I would be emasculating him if it was, like, a guy, or, like, he would just find, like, me, like, too forward or something. And I don't know if that's, like, a, I don't know. Did I learn that? I don't know.
It wasn't at the bar, but I did see someone actually fairly recently that I was like, I think you're cool. We should hang out. Yeah, so I think if you're interested in someone, you should just do it because, you know what, everybody gets, like, you know, rejected at some point, so you just have to put yourself out there, and the reason why, you know, in this, like, heteronormative society where, like, men are supposed to ask the woman out, they've kind of gained, like, a thicker skin from going through all those experiences, and... if we do the same thing, then it'll become more normalized. So I would say if you're just interested in someone, you should just do it because you never know what could happen. Could work out.
Yeah, I totally agree. Because you also don't want to, like, perpetuate the idea of sort of objectifying yourself in the sense that, like, I'm just a beautiful flower waiting to be picked. Do you know what I mean? Like, here I am. And then you'll get really bent out of shape when you, like, nobody's coming to pick you. And you kind of just, it's not a self-sustaining mechanism at all. And you can't, like, you can't ask for what you want. You can't really get what you want unless, like, somebody else happens to want you to. And then it kind of, it's sad.
It's a really apt metaphor. I like it.
Beautiful. I feel like I do that a lot. I've just gotten to the point where I, like, don't care any, well, I care, but, like, I don't care anymore. I'm just like, whatever, I think you're cute, you're not doing anything, let's do it. So I'll like talk to people. But also the previous first high school boyfriend that I mentioned, I did ask him out. And so I feel like that just started me on the train of being like, I'm going after it. Because that worked out okay.
Just going off of that, Liz, I'm thinking about asking people out and sort of that initial exchange. And I've always wondered about starting the conversation by commenting or complimenting their appearance. Because I know that, you know, women experience this as a product of, like, male gaze, and it's, like, this really uncomfortable thing where, you know, certain men would feel, like, very entitled, like, that for you to respond positively. And I wonder, you know, is there that same expectation when women do it to men or even other women, but sort of, like, is it okay to start off with that, saying, like, oh, you're really cute, or, like, I like your eyes, or I like your hair, and then kind of go forward? Or should you, like, talk to them about things that aren't their appearance, but you know, like, you know that you saw them and you found them attractive and that's what made you walk up to them?
I think just when it comes to commenting on someone's appearance, it's really important to differentiate between being, like, you know, I find this really cute, as if it's, you know, how they look is of, like, any sort of benefit to anyone other than themselves, or to be like, I mean, your style's really great, to kind of say, like they own it, like, you appreciate how they look because they look so them, or something like that, versus just being like, oh, like, you're nice to look at, because that really doesn't, there's not as much depth there.
Yeah, it was definitely, this has come up recently where, like, somebody, I don't know, I think a, like, guy was talking to me, or, like, I've heard through the grapevine someone had said something about me where, like, they're like, oh, you're really hot, or, like, you have really, okay, like, people are like, you have really good boobs or whatever. And that's been, like, a big thing that they're like, oh, my friend thinks your boobs are great. And I'm like, it's just the they weirdest are. Thing. Or, like, thank you. This is not me congratulating myself. I, like, honestly, but it's like, look, she thinks you're really hot. And it feels like this weird thing where I don't really, it's like this chasm of, like, I don't really know what to say or how to feel about that, because I'm like, I'm not really in charge of that at all. And, like, so that's kind of the thing where I'm like, I don't, it's exactly what you're saying, where you're like, I don't feel good about that necessarily, which sounds kind of annoying even to be like, don't even call me hot. Like, but, like, I don't know.
I think it's better to compliment people on something that they've actually chosen, or put, you know, like, it's their decision, because as soon as you're like, I really like your eyes, it's like, oh, thank you, but I was born with these, so I didn't really get the choice, you know, like, thanks, man. But for example, if you're like, I really like that nose piercing, it looks so good on you, then there's, like, you know, it's more personal.
Yeah, and, like, in terms of what you were saying about, like, complimenting someone, I think it is, like, I like to do it as sort of, like, a disarming thing. Or, like, a, I don't, not like intentionally, but it's sort of like a disarming technique of being like, hi, like, nice to meet you, like, you look great, and, like, I'd like to know you, and, like, let's talk. I don't know. So that's kind of what I Alrighty. Well, it looks like we're going to have to close it off for today. Thanks for joining us, everyone. And thanks to everyone here in the studio and everyone listening in their separate arenas of life. Lady Radio is sponsored by Women's Center, and we'll be back with some special programming on May 13th. And we'll be closing out with Total Eclipse of the Heart by Bonnie Tyler. CITR 101.9.
Every now and then I get a little bit lonely, and you're never coming around.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of listening to the sound of my tears.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit nervous that the best of all the years have gone by.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit terrified, and then I see the look in your eyes.
Turn around.
Why?
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little.
falling apart. There's nothing I can do, a total eclipse of the heart. Once upon a time there was light in my life, but now there's only love in the dark. Nothing I can say, a total eclipse of the heart.
CITR 101.9 FM presents the Main Street Vinyl Record Fair on Sunday, May 1st, at the Heritage Hall on 3102 Main Street. There are over 50,000 vinyl records on sale, with great deals on 45s, turntables, vintage audio, and much more. The fair also features thousands of vinyl records available by donation in support of CITR, Safe Amp, and Girls Rock Camp Vancouver. There'll also be a special feature of the vinyl spinning genius of the Knights of the Turntable. Discover rare gems and stock up.